This is the first Sunday of the month of November. And the theme for this month is Blessed Families. So, and it's the last but one month of the year, and God has given us this theme as Blessed Families. So, it's for us to see what God has for us in stock for the month of November. So, before I start, I would like to crave our indulgence. If anyone could tell me what they understand. There are two words, actually, for the month of November. It's blessed and families. So, and God has a purpose why he gave us this theme for the month of November, blessed families. I'd like to find out if there's anyone who could help us to tell us what they understand by the word blessed. We've been using this word a lot. A lot of people, you know, it's a common word that we use, blessed. And blessed means, or blessing means different things to different people. But let's see what we understand, what our understanding is of blessed. Is there anyone that could help us? The IT department, I think they've given us the answers already. Okay. When Pastor told me that I'll be taking the ministration for today, and the theme was Blessed Family, so I first of all went to Oxford Dictionary to find out what blessed is. So, and what it says is it's made whole, holy, you know, and consecrated. That's another word for blessed. And also it's a special favor, mercy, or benefit. You know, the one that actually caught my attention at the last two, a gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness unto his people. And also invoking of God's favor upon his people. So when someone uses the word, you are blessed, these are the things actually that he's inferring. So let's see what the next slide, please. The Bible's definition. Oh, you've gone too far, yeah, of blessed. So if you go to Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 12, emphasis on 3 to 6, you see, is it possible to get to that verse, please? You see what God actually meant by blessed, when God say you are blessed, or what God's blessing is. So if you read this, you know, a lot, it means a lot when God says God's blessing upon his people, you know, it's holistic. It affects every area of our life, you know. So if you read it, say, blessed shall be you in the city and blessed shall be you in the country. So if you read from 1 to 13, you would see that a lot of things, it affects almost all aspects of our life. So the next one. So that is blessed. So the next one we'll go into, because it's two words, blessed and family. So the next one is family. So I also went into the definition to find out what the Oxford Dictionary has the definition for family. You know, family means a lot of things to different people, you know. In the medical profession now, we could say we are a family. We relate to one another, you know, as a family. Even in different professions or different groups see themselves as families. You know, either you say a group or family, but to us, what God meant by family, it's a unit in which the basic unit of the society is family. So in United Kingdom now, we're praying, you know, this is what I earlier on prayed about Brexit on United Kingdom. So you find that the society is made of families. The society is a reflection of the various families that form it. So if the family is not stable, you find that the society will not be stable. So I'm just trying to, this is a preamble before I go into the main message. I'm trying to prepare our minds so that we will understand what God, the message that God is trying to send to us. Blessed family. Another definition again I saw is the second one, a group consisting of two parents and their children living together as a unit. You know, to God, this is a family. The first family actually was, if you remember Genesis, God created man first. That was the first being God created. And God found out that it was not proper for man to be alone. He created Eve from man. So that is a unit. That is the family. That was the first family that God created. And the purpose of God, and the purpose why God created man, was one, to worship him, and two, for man to have a wonderful time with him. But unfortunately, man, you know, fell short of God's expectation. So that was when Jesus obviously came and all that. So when Jesus came, that's another family of his own. But my emphasis will be on the first family, you know. So you said families are important to God as he sees them as the fabric of the society. So when you have a blessed family, you have a blessed society. So they say no single man or woman can exist as a family unit. So family unit, they have to be two parents and children, with or without children, but they have the concept is that when it's a family, it's a combination of a man and a woman. Next slide, please. So when God said, bless family, you know, it's a man and a woman and the children. So for the family to be blessed, the impact of the parents have to be one, God-fearing. These are the attributes that you would, because you have to invoke the blessing of God on the family, and that passes on to the generation. So for the family to be blessed, this is part of the attribute. One, obedience. You know, and that's the Bible verse, sacrifice, faith, and contentment. But I will be laying emphasis on obedience, because obedience sums it all. You know, if you remember in the book of Genesis, Abraham was a great man, you know, and God, you know, loved him so much because of that attribute, the first one, obedience. Abraham was obedient to God, even when there were no signs, you know, that things that God was saying to him, there were no signs. He couldn't even see it, you know, when he said he's going to have children and all that. Abraham was old, and, you know, Abraham obeyed God. So, and because of those obedience, God blessed him and blessed his generation, even after him. So obedience to God is very important. So, and that is the verse. If you start from Genesis 12, verse 1, you know, from verse 1, please. So he said that now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you. That was an instruction from God. Abraham did not even know where he was going to, you know. He didn't even know where he was going. God just said, stand up and walk. And he did, you know, without any, you know, I'm sure if it was now, even if you tell your child to stand up and go somewhere and you don't tell him what's going to do, he's not going to listen to you. So this is a man in the 70s, and God asked him to leave his family and leave all he has to go to somewhere he doesn't even know. And he obeyed God. And I'm sure we all know that Abraham was a very obedient man. The next one is when he asked Abraham to sacrifice the thing that was so dear to him, you know. Abraham obeyed God. You know, I'm sure that is, you know, a big trial which most of us very likely will have failed. So obedience means so much to God. Sorry. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. So if you want, you could go back and read more on that. Next slide, please. So, because Abraham was so obedient to God, if you read Genesis 22:18, you see why God blessed his generation. Please, is it possible to bring it up? 22:18, please. You say, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. That is a great blessing. He's blessing his generation, not Abraham. He's blessing his generation. You know, he's the children that will come after him. So, and God did that because Abraham obeyed him. You know, okay, the next. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that blessed family, as we all saw earlier on, a family, it's a union of the two parents and the children. So if I'll get to the children soon so that we understand where I'm coming from. So the children in a home when a child is born, you know, they are usually a gift from God to the family, to a union. Children are a gift from God. So, and because they are a gift from God, a child that is growing has two things that happen. One, the nature and the nurture. The nature of a child is the way the child is born. And the nurture is the environment in which the child grows. And nurture means your, as parents, what you show the child, the way the child sees it, you things do, the way the child see you behave and all that, and the loving kindness and all that, your values that you pass on to the child, that is nurture. Nature and nurture combine to form the child's personality, and that's the way the child grows. So where I'm coming from is because if the child knows you to be a very prayerful parent, you know, now as we're worshiping, Sister Bola was saying, we should pray about Brexit. My daughter asked me, what is Brexit? You understand? Because she didn't understand what Brexit is. You know, and whatever I say to her is the impression she will have about Brexit. What I'm trying to say in essence is that children are like sponge. You know, when you have a sponge, they just keep sucking. So and whatever they suck, they retain. So so that nurture that we provide means a lot to the child. So when you have a loving family where, you know, the child is catered for, the child knows, all the child knows is that daddy is very prayerful, and the child sees that normal, that becomes part of their personality. So, and the child then grows up with that, you know. So, the other one is the consequences of not being obedient to God. This is the example I got that I would like us to share. Eli was a great prophet of, or was a high priest of God. You know, he had his children. You know, God punished him not because of what he did, but because of what he failed to pass on to his children. You know, so if we go to, if we go on 1 Samuel 3:11-2, you will see that this is what God sent Samuel to Eli, that that in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his household from the beginning to the end. You know, if you read this from the beginning to the end, you will see that God wasn't pleased with Eli, despite the fact that Eli himself was doing what was expected. He was in good standing with God, but God wasn't happy with him because he did not pass on the expected principle or values to his children. So Eli's children were, you know, very disobedient and all that. And what did God do at the end? They all died. Eli and his three children died on the same day. So there are consequences, you know, now I'm sure God wouldn't come and kill us anyway, that we did not train our children properly. But the consequences is that you have children that becomes wayward, you know, go into drugs, you know, do all sorts of things. They will not attain their potentials. And when you have children like that, what do? They pass on that also to their own children. So that it ultimately affects the society. So when they say you don't give what you don't have, it's what you have that you give. So if you pass on the values to your children will have that as their values and also pass that on. So as I said earlier in the beginning of my statement, that society is a reflection of the family. So if you have stable family, you have stable society. Okay, next slide, please. So this is the slide where I talked about nature and nurture. Nature is the way a child is born. Every child, you know, obviously, you know, God has unique trait that God has bestowed on everyone. So we all have that as our nature. Then our nurture now is, you know, the environment that we grow. So very important that we bestow on our children. We become role models unto them, that when they see us, they begin to learn this thing. You know, they begin to learn this trait and this principle and values from us. Very important that we are role models unto them, so that they don't see us as, you know, being, you know, at home. When we're in church, we're, you know, very righteous and, you know, look very religious and all that. But at home, we are something else, because at home is actually where most of these values are inculcated into these children. So it's very important that, you know, we provide the appropriate environment for these kids. So if you go into Proverbs 22:6, this is it. They say you train up a child in the way and he should grow, and he would, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. When we inculcate these values into our children and they grow up, because the society is a, the wider society is a battleground where if you're not strong, you know, if you cannot, they say, if you cannot conquer, then you'll be conquered. So I was discussing with my wife when we were preparing this slide that, you know, when you see these Muslims, even she was telling me there was a time they were doing exams and they said it was time for prayers, they have to go and pray. In the middle of exams, nobody could stop them because their value, they go and pray. Despite the fact that everybody around will say, what's happening here? But that's a value, because that's the value they've grown up with. They see it as that supersedes any other thing around them. So if we bring up our children in the right way, you know, when they are old, they will not depart from it. They will not depart from it. So it's very, very important that when we pass this value to them, they will know nothing else. That's why the Bible says you bring up your children, that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Because that becomes the value they know. That any other thing, you know, when they go out into the wider society and they begin to face challenges, they will see it as, this is all I know, there's nothing else I know. So, and that is why they become resilient, and those values, they will be able to pass on those values to their own children. But if they don't have those values and they go out and someone say, and they provide them with alternative, you know, because that is not part of the value they know, that it is not part of their DNA or their personality, you know, it becomes easy for them to be distracted. You know, if you can't win, if you can't conquer them, they'll conquer you. So it is very important that at this young age, we see these children as a gift that God has given to us, and we try as much as we can to pass on the right values to them, so that society becomes a blessed place. And also, even we also, when we are old, will not be running around, you know, looking for, you know, how to support them. I have some of my family friends who send their kids to United Kingdom to come and study. And unfortunately, he dabbled into drugs. His parents come all the way from Nigeria to come here to stay with the kids because he's in the mental health hospital. You know, he's dabbling into drugs, and that has affected him. He developed schizophrenia. You know, and I can't even imagine how much the parents spend on hospital admission because he's on student visa. They treat him, but at the end of the day, he still has to pay. And there have been times myself and my wife have gone to see them in their house. The parents are not very pleased to, you know, to let him come and see us because obviously he has psychotic symptoms. And there was a gentleman who, I think he came in his late teenage, to come and study. And, you know, those values were not strong and he dabbled into drugs because of friends. But that has had long-term consequences on his future. He has become a burden now onto his parents, where he's supposed to be a thing of joy. So, when our kids grow up, there's always a time when they have to leave. And when that time for them to leave comes, they would go. So if you pass on those values onto them, that will be what will keep them going when you're not there. So, and that's very, very important that with these values I pass on to these kids when they are this young. Okay. So I hope we've been able to benefit one or two things from today's. Simon, thank you so much.